teachers, instructors, and administrators around the country are trying to figure out how to keep students from cheating during virtual learning. Reports say several colleges and universities have been rocked by cheating scandals. At the University of North Texas, cheating is up 20% from last fall. At Texas State University, it's up 33%. Another report says students in a computer science course at the University of Chicago copied code from each other. And the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, more than 70 cadets were accused of cheating on a math exam. Cheating's also become more of an issue at the high school level, and with the practice generally frowned upon, some parents are saying it might be okay in certain situations. How about you? Where do you stand when it comes to cheating? You can call 800-642-1234. Do you feel like it's always wrong in your book? Or does having access to something like Google or friends make you resourceful? What do you want your kids or kids today to figure out? 800-642-1234. That's the number to call, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Scott Jasek is an editor at Inside Higher Ed here to talk with us. Welcome back to Central Time, Scott.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Is cheating up overall, or are we just seeing students do it in different ways?
Well, we're definitely seeing students do it in different ways, and it probably is up overall. But I wouldn't assume the worst. Cheating has always been there in higher education, and it's always on the rise, according to some people. If we didn't have an internet, there would be cheating. Remember when, there were the boxes in fraternity houses where you could get old papers or exams. So it's important to remember cheating isn't new. The way people cheat is new. And also with the internet, some people don't know that they're cheating.
That is a really important point, because cheating means different things to different people. And it's not just based on age. I mean, even different teachers handle open book or using your notes differently. And some people would consider that cheating.
Some people would, if you're banned from that. But I'd say cheating, what we really have in our society is a lot of students don't know how to properly credit material that they get online. They don't know the difference between just quoting something and quoting something with attribution. And these are things that you can teach. There's some professors who believe that we should crack down on cheating and strictly enforce the rules. Others, however, say that it's really a time to teach students, teaching is what higher education is about, the difference between cheating and not cheating.
How do you begin to do that? I mean, is there something you can do proactively as professors, as teachers, or do you have to wait until someone has stepped out of line to show them the right way?
I'd say you have to be proactive. The reality is, even if you put on the syllabus that you don't tolerate cheating, many students will cheat, some intentionally and some because they don't know. At the beginning of a course, a professor should talk about what he or she expects from students, what it is to use materials online. Now, this year we've had a particularly bad, instances of cheating, but that's, in part because it's not just they're online, they're home in many cases. And so you didn't have the same relationships with fellow students and professors that you normally do.
We've got Jim from Milwaukee who gave us a call at 800-642-1234. Jim, thanks for joining the conversation.
Thank you. Just a quick comment of my experience. My son goes to a major institution in Texas, and with his courses, he's penalized for not cheating. And what I mean by that is he's in a finance class. The class average for one of the tests was something around the 96%, which is about 20 points higher than the same test given last year before COVID and everything being online. And even though it's pointed out to the professors and the statistics, and they know it's an aberration and they know people probably cheated, the professor really can't do anything about it. So the bottom line is my son is being penalized for not cheating. So he feels pressure to actually, get with the program and do what everybody else is doing. So it is a difficult quandary that these students find themselves in.
Jim, thank you so much for helping us understand what your kids are going through and really bringing up this issue of the pressure to succeed. That is a huge part of cheating, Scott.
Absolutely. I mean, students are under tremendous pressure to get good grades so that they can go to graduate school or get good jobs. But I would ask Jim to just, how do you know that it's cheating? It's not just high grade can be earned. And so I would just raise that issue.
Sure. And even comparing to last year, you might have a different group of students with different
right.
aptitudes. And so you may be seeing that, honestly. But I that sounds like then it, even if this was raised to the professor, it would also be hard for the professor to assess what was happening.
Yes. I mean, look, it's harder to enforce rules on papers or exams when the students are spread out. There are sophisticated ways to do it. And institutions that normally teach online are very good at it because they have to be. The reality is this year we've had a lot of universities switch to remote learning very quickly.
Mm. Scott Jasek with Inside Higher Ed is talking with us about cheating right now, and your calls are welcome at 800-642-1234. Maybe you're a teacher or a professor. What do you do to limit cheating in your class? Have you changed the way you're teaching when it comes to virtual education, and that's different than what you would have done in a classroom? Maybe you're a student. How prevalent is cheating among your peers, and how do you know? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at that number, or you can email us, ideas@WPR.org. Robert in central Wisconsin is on the line now. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. What are you thinking about?
Okay, so I've been attending online classes for the last 5 years. I'm in corporate management, and I have no time to go and sit in a classroom, right? I can't guarantee my time for those things. So I have experienced over all of the online courses and how the courses that have always been online prior to COVID, like if you wanted to cheat, and I would say a high 95% of the courses that I've taken, you're really not going to be successful in them. So when, like by definition, cheating, copying a code and using that, I mean, yes, that of course you're gonna have whether you have it in class or out of class. But if they design the courses right, my timed tests that I've taken for the last 5 years, if I wanted to get a book out, it isn't going to do me any good. You don't have enough time to go through them.
Yeah, Robert, I think you bring up a couple of different points is what I'm trying to say. Thank you so much for that call. You know, Robert brought up time tests or cheating just being more difficult. And even this idea that if you want to succeed in them, even if you get the grade, then you don't have the knowledge that is intended that you learn by taking the tests and studying. Scott, there are some things that teachers can do in classes to make it, I guess, less optional to cheat.
And there's something really important about that comment. He's been doing online education for, I think he said, 5 years. Mm-hmm. The fact is he's at an institution that has been doing testing or having students submit papers before COVID. It is possible to do this. Where it's more difficult is when institutions quickly start.
Educators say students are more likely to cheat when they're under stress and pressure. How can we assess that when we've got a pandemic and we have switched a lot of kids and young adults to remote learning very quickly?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know the students are under pressure and stress. Everyone is under pressure and stress for these days. So that's a reality. The professors need to talk about it. They need at the beginning of the course, before there are these incidents with cheating, to talk about what cheating is and why it degrades higher education, and to make the students feel part of of this important part of our society, and the teaching process.
And we're talking about cheating in school and in college. We've got Scott Jasek, our guest. He's an editor at Inside Higher Ed. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you think about cheating and how we should handle it, whether you're a student, a parent, a teacher, anyone, just thinking about what this could mean for us as a community. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And we've got Mitchell in Cedarburg on the line now. Hey, Mitchell.
Hi.
What are you thinking about? Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I'm thinking about our culture and how we promote higher education. I feel like, and maybe this is just in middle to upper class, you know, echelons of our society, that kids are forced to feel like they have to go to college. And I almost think that the inclination to cheat amongst college students exists to a higher degree than we might think, even outside of a virtual context, and that we should be thinking a little bit harder about the degree to which we promote higher education to students who simply might be better off in the trades. Because if the inclination to cheat suggests not wanting to be there in the first place.
Mitchell, thanks for that take. You know, it's one that sometimes comes up, Scott, this idea that, you know, not everybody should go to a four-year institution, and that's okay. I also have to wonder what you think about that in the context of a pandemic, that maybe you thought that's where you wanted to be, and now things have changed. Would you encourage students to change?
Well, I think students are attending every type of institution. You know, more students start a higher education at a community or technical college. You know, a lot of students go there, and there's cheating there too. You know, and so this problem is not unique to the best known institutions, but you hear about it when it happens at those institutions. But cheating takes place everywhere.
Sure. So those technical or trade schools that Mitchell's talking about, students there are cheating too in some of the similar levels. Do we know that?
Not necessarily at the same levels, but mm-hmm. they are cheating. And generally, the pressure for students to earn top grades is at 4-year institutions. And is at the most prestigious institutions. So there are differences between 2- and 4-year institutions, but there are cheaters everywhere.
Yeah. We are going to go to Courtney in Madison now. Courtney, what are you thinking about?
Hi, I'm a nursing student. I'm an older nursing student. I'm well into my 30s. And, you know, one of the things that I really struggle with is that I've been a nurse for a long time. I'm getting my bachelor's degree, and a lot of questions that I come up against on tests are memorizing either figures or specific, you know, mathematical things that I would Google if I was actually on the floor with a patient. I would never, you know, jog my memory to know whether this lab value is, you know, off or something. I'd look it up. But I'm being tested on that maybe 50% of all my tests.
Courtney, do you think in those circumstances then that you would consider it cheating if you looked it up on the tests?
You know, I mean, we are very strict about cheating. You'll get thrown out of the program if you get caught at all. But it does frustrate me because you're supposed to be learning a trade, a skill, for taking care of people, and they're teaching you not how to do that, but how to memorize things.
All right.
That will not actually benefit anybody in the long run, because I'm going to look it up when it actually comes to it. I would never risk someone's health remembering something incorrectly.
Yeah. Courtney, thank you for sharing that, and thank you for the work that we do. We really appreciate you being a nurse and helping people right now. Scott, The Wall Street Journal had an article about cheating, and it said some parents aren't okay with cheating if teachers are doing a good job, but if the teacher's just posting assignments and not doing any like what they consider real teaching, they think kids should be resourceful and look online or ask friends. What do you think about that?
I disagree with it. I mean, look, if there are many courses where it's totally fine because the professor says it's fine to use all the materials you can get. And so that's not cheating. But if the professor says you can't use certain materials, call me old-fashioned, but I believe that's cheating and that you shouldn't do it.
Do you expect that when we move back to more in-person classes eventually that cheating will go down?
Not really, because cheating is always a problem. And until people, you know, get serious about teaching what is cheating and what is not cheating, I think it will continue.
How do you remind people that cheating hurts students in the long run?
In the long run, you give them examples. You know, and I think one of the questioners said, you know, if you cheat, you don't have that knowledge, and that the knowledge matters. And I'd even say to the nursing student that it's important to know how to look up certain, how to calculate certain kinds of information. You might use a calculator later in life, but you've got to know what it is. And that's just old-fashioned, important education.
That idea that, sure, you might not use algebra every day, but it also teaches you how to think.
Yeah.
Scott, we really appreciate your time going over this. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Take care.
Scott Jasek is an editor at Inside Higher Ed. We are talking with him about the rise in cheating among students, especially doing virtual learning, and what colleges, universities, professors are doing about it.